Welcome in, podcast listeners. Look, it's very rare I have a tease like this, but today's show is truly unbelievable. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, is with us in the third hour of the program, and Jason Whitlock is his warm-up act in the first couple of hours, and it's all fantastic as well. We're talking college football. We're talking China. We're talking the coronavirus. We're talking the return of the NFL. Do yourself a favor. Make sure you subscribe and go give us 5 stars. Danny G, who the president said deserves a raise, I hate to spoil it, but that's what Danny G says, is reviewing all our 5-star reviews. If you give us 5 stars and he's entertained by your review, you get an autographed copy of my latest book. I think you will love it. That'll be Outkick. And man, what a show. What a podcast. It begins now.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We are learning a lot about the controversy surrounding college football, and I'm going to tell you everything that I believe I know about those circumstances here momentarily. But first, right off the top of the show, we have big news. And that big news is this. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, is scheduled to join us at 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific, live on the radio program. Now, that's obviously a huge deal. I am extremely excited about it. I'm extremely excited about what it says about the growth of our radio show, that the President of the United States is picking us to come on in all of Sports Talk Radio to speak with live on the radio about college football and other sports-related issues. But I'm also nervous because I'm excited to interview the President. I've never done that before. It's something that certainly if you're in the media, very few people ever get to do in their career. And certainly if you're in sports talk radio, it doesn't happen that often. But also because I'm constantly clicking refresh on my Twitter feed even more often than usual, because when you've got the president scheduled, anything can happen, right? Like I knew this was going to happen yesterday and I'm scrolling through Twitter like, hey, let's just have a calm night. Let's just have nothing happen in the world. No major incidents. And then I see that they just rushed the president out of his press conference at the White House yesterday and that he was abruptly taken off the stage. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? And then it comes out that there was a shooting. He came back and he did the press conference. But I was like, well, there goes our interview. Something big has happened. They had to take the president out of his press briefing. There's no telling what might be going on. So I have been like a hawk, basically not sleeping at all, watching all of this unfold, and this is obviously a really exciting part of the show. Now, between now and then, we got a lot going on. Jason Whitlock is going to come and hang out. We had a great show yesterday talking about all the drama in college football. We're going to continue to talk about that a lot today. But in particular, I want to go ahead and say right off the top, I understand everybody doesn't love Donald Trump. A lot of you do, a lot of you don't. That happens with every single president. And I have said this for years, and maybe I'm one of the last people on the planet who actually believes this, but I root for every president to succeed. Whether it was Barack Obama, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, George Bush, Bill Clinton, everybody who has been president during my life, whether I voted for them or not, I want them to succeed. I've been straightforward about that. I want Donald Trump to succeed because he's the president, and I also am of the opinion that if you get an opportunity to visit the White House or you get an opportunity to have the President of the United States on your show, you take it a billion times out of a billion. And so I am not going to apologize to anybody who is upset or they're triggered or they're like, oh my God, this is a sports show. Why would you have the president on? My response would be, because he's the president. And I'm never going to apologize for that. So if it triggers you, it upsets you, you are welcome to go and listen to somebody else's show today or for the rest of your life for all that matters, because I'm not particularly concerned about your opinion on this because I'm making it and I think it's a good one and I'm excited about it. I'm super excited about it. I don't get nervous very often about the idea of an interview, but last night I was on pins and needles, so excited about being able to do this interview. We've been doing this show almost 5 years. And it doesn't get – it takes a lot for me to be excited and or nervous about doing the show because I do it for 3 hours Monday through Friday every day with you. But this is next level. I'm excited for what it represents for the show, for everybody out there who works on the show, Danny G, Dub, Roberto, Eddie Garcia. This is a big moment for OutKick, and frankly, it's a big moment for Fox Sports Radio as well to have the sitting president of the United States come on live with us on the program. Now, anything could happen. So just because it's scheduled, they told me I couldn't even say anything to anybody about it until it is actually, we were coming live on the radio this morning. So just because it's actually scheduled, again, crazy things can happen. As you can well imagine, the president's schedule is always in flux given what could be going on around the world. So I'm not 100% certain it's going to happen. And by the way, I'm not 100% confident in anything on this show. I'm already nervous. Yesterday when I texted Danny G about this, I was like, I am so nervous about our phones. I am so nervous about every single aspect of this interview in terms of just the tech background. Because there are so many things that regularly go wrong on this. The idea that the White House is going to be calling Danny G with the president waiting is nerve-wracking to the nth degree for me just because of what could possibly go wrong with our phones. But I am also super excited, and I mean, again, a big part of why this interview is happening is because of the massive growth that we have seen with OutKick in the 5 years almost that we have been doing this show. We're about to start on our fifth full year, and obviously you guys are a huge component of why this is happening as well. So it should be outstanding. My fingers are crossed, a little bit less than 2 hours. If you are a regular person who's in your car, and a regular listener, I mean, and you're in your car, and you're only on the in here for like 15 minutes, and you got to go into work, I would encourage you to go download the podcast. You can go listen by hour now. Donald Trump, in theory, is going to be the lead of hour number three. And I think you're probably going to enjoy that interview. I'm certainly excited to do it. So if you're only in your car for a few minutes, then that is what you will miss and why you should download the podcast like millions of you are doing every single month on this television, on this radio program. All that's positive. All right. So I am super excited about that, but we've got a show to do until that moment arrives. And this is going to be a good show in the meantime, because like I said, we've got Jason Whitlock on with us, and usually we have Mondays with Whitlock, but there was so much zaniness in college football yesterday that Jason Whitlock is going to be joining us live here in a little bit to do Tuesdays with Whitlock. And by the way, we may move Jason Whitlock to Wednesdays as it gets closer to college football, hopefully, and the NFL going on. And the reason why we would be doing that is because there's a lot of news typically on Monday, and Wednesdays with Whitlock sounds like it has a nice ring to it. By the way, Jason Whitlock's own podcast is going to debut soon. So that is sort of the housekeeping for the program. I'm excited to be able to announce it. It's out there publicly. Fingers crossed that everything's going to go well, and we'll be talking to the president to start off the third hour of the program today. And we got a lot to discuss with him, and I'm super excited about that. But there also are major stories in the world of sports that this show has been intimately involved in following, and that has to do with college football. So yesterday was one of the wildest days on Twitter for college football that I can ever remember. And you know it's wild when you have programs like the University of Nebraska and certainly like Ohio State that are essentially saying, if the Big Ten is not going to play football, then we will find some other way to play football because we don't believe our season should be canceled. When you have Jim Harbaugh, and you have Ryan Day, and you have James Franklin, the three most successful coaches in the Big Ten right now, all coming out publicly and saying they support their players, when you have the president of the United States tweeting that he supports Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, when you have politicians from across the political spectrum, whether it was Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse, whether it was yesterday Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, on our own radio program, whether it is a variety of politicians out there all deciding to weigh in about whether or not college football should happen, There are crazy stories that seem impossible to believe. This is a lot like what happened with realignment, where every rumor seems categorically insane, and then some of them end up being true, which is how we ended up with Nebraska in the Big Ten and Colorado in the Big 12 and Missouri in the SEC and Texas A&M to the SEC. All these different Maryland to the Big Ten, all these different wild stories that seemed like they may or may not have been true, Pittsburgh and Syracuse. And we had a huge earthquake, and it was like a slow-moving earthquake back in the time of realignment because there were so many discussions about it. So a lot of you out there, I would say the number one question I have gotten from people is, hey, Clay, what in the world's actually going on? And so I'm going to do my best to explain to you what I believe to be going on right now as it involves college football and whether there will be a season. And as a preliminary, I'm being straightforward with you guys. I am a huge college football fan. I'm not pretending to be anything other than an advocate for the college football season to be played. Whether you are a Big 12, Big 10, SEC, ACC, or Pac-12 fan, I know everybody has different favorite teams in the Power 5 conferences, and Notre Dame as well, for that matter, and a lot of other schools also. I'm in favor of all of them playing. And I've been straightforward about that, but I just want to make that crystal clear as we start here. I am a college football fan. I am not trying to pick sides other than being on the side of, I believe college football should be played. Just like I believe kids need to be back in school, K through kindergarten through all the way through college and grad school and everything else. And just like I believe it's time to start to get back to work if you are young and healthy, those are my opinions, okay? So, what I believe to have been going on, let me take you back in time a little bit. Last week, on Wednesday afternoon, I got a bunch of calls from people, and I've been optimistic about college football taking place for some time, and the calls that I got on Wednesday with people that I was talking to, suddenly they turned dark, in that there were a lot of people who had been reasonably optimistic to that point that suddenly started to say, hey, I'm not as optimistic about college football happening. That was on the day that the Big Ten released their schedule, a day that theoretically should have been one where there was a lot of positivity out there. That continued on Thursday and Friday, continued to have calls and talks with a lot of different people. And by the way, these are people that work in the college football universe that are friends of mine. I obviously work in the college football universe. If you listen to this program, you know a lot of the people that I talk to. And we all chat because this is what we do for a living. It's not like I'm trying to break news on these stories or anything else. I'm just trying to be as well informed as I can for purposes of coming and talking to you on the radio. Now, I was told over the weekend what Dan Patrick said on his radio program on Monday. I didn't say it on my radio show because I was told that it was, you know, super top secret. And I didn't have it from enough people to go out. I'm not personally in the business, by and large, of breaking stories anymore. We're in the business of breaking stories at OutKick. But the report that Dan Patrick had, and by the way, we will break and continue to break a lot of stories at OutKick. I encourage you to make sure that you're checking that site every single day. And obviously, Jason Whitlock writes there as well, and he'll be joining us shortly. But I had heard that that there was a vote, and that the same thing that Dan Patrick said, that Iowa and Nebraska were the only two schools that said, hey, we want to play. And since then, there has been a report that that's not true. The Big Ten is denying it. I tend to side with Dan Patrick again because I heard from reliable people before Dan Patrick said it on Monday, the exact same thing that he said. Literally the exact same thing. And so I trust Dan Patrick to talk to good people like I talk to myself to talk to good people. So I tend to believe that his report had a lot more truth in it than it did falsehood. Now, it could also have been in some way like a trial balloon, right? We're going to toss it up and see what happens. And the Big Ten expected for there to be more support. Regardless, since that happened, Ohio State's president has come out and said they won't vote for it. So there are a lot of uncertainties here. What is not uncertain is that Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and all the other coaches that got involved in the We Want to Play hashtag have changed fundamentally the conversation around whether college football takes place this fall or not. And that conversation has now taken so many different twists and turns. What I believe, based on people that I talk to, the Big Ten wanted to happen was they were effectively trying to bully everyone else into following their lead and canceling. But the Big Ten was like the boy who had the ball, if you remember playing when you were a kid, and if they weren't happy with the way the game went, they were just going to take the ball and go home, but they thought everybody else would have to stop playing too. What they did not anticipate, I believe, is for there to be so many other people out there, players, coaches, administrators, fans, boosters, people in prominent position in college athletics who fundamentally rejected the idea of canceling the college football season right now. And so, what I believe to be happening is everybody's going back to their corners and trying to figure out what the votes are and what the fallout will be. Now, think about this for a minute. One of the people who are getting yanked around here the most are the college football players, because they, on Wednesday of last week, if they were Big Ten players, were told, hey, this is the schedule you're going to play. If they are SEC players, they were told on Friday evening, hey, here's your 10-game schedule. And then by the weekend, all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, we got to cancel the season. This is a fundamental failure, I believe, if you want to point a finger at anybody, of Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner. Now, I don't know Kevin Warren. He is in his first year, effectively, as Big Ten commissioner. This is a tough situation to jump into. He's not Jim Delaney, who did this for decades. And I believe, as a result, his leadership has been profoundly inconsistent. And getting everybody aligned on an issue like this is incredibly challenging. But this is why the SEC made the decisions that they did. The SEC said, hey, wait a minute. We're not going to start our season until September 26th. Why did they do that? Because the SEC believes that when college kids get back on campus, there is going to be an upsurge in the number of coronavirus infections, because all those college kids are going to be back on campus in close proximity to each other. Given that they are going to start to arrive on campus this week and next week at many different places, the expectation is that surge will happen in August, and then the hope is it can begin to decline by the time we get close to Labor Day, which is when the SEC wants to begin practice, so they could begin playing on September 26th. In other words, they're trying to avoid all of the media panic from the, my God, look at all these infection stories. Now, positive story. Notre Dame conducted tests of all of its incoming students, and 99.7% of all the students they tested were negative. That is, only roughly 0.3% of incoming students at Notre Dame were positive for the coronavirus. Those students theoretically will be isolated, treated until they are no longer infectious, and in theory, Notre Dame would then be able to start on-campus life with zero infections among students. Now, the challenge, as you can well imagine, is kids are going to go to bars, kids are going to go to restaurants, kids are going to go off campus, some of them are going to get sick, and then other players, other students, and maybe players will also get sick, depending on how much risk is undertaken by these students. But that, at least, is a very strong positive start for a school like Notre Dame to have a very limited number of cases. What do I believe is going to happen, likely to happen going forward? I think the SEC wants to continue to buy more time. That's what SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, who has come on this show quite a bit and talked with you guys, has said has been the advice to him since this all started. Take as much time as you can. The SEC wants for the NFL to start play. I think they would like to see high school start to play. I think they would like to see the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA all continue to play so they can put forward the best possible practices to make everybody else safe. Same thing in the ACC, same thing in the Big 12. Look, everybody's goal is to have as few students get sick as possible and as few athletes get sick as possible as well. So this is a story that is going to be wild to follow. There are going to be a lot of twists and turns. I would encourage you to follow me on Twitter at Clay Travis because we're going to be on top of it. I would encourage you to go follow OutKick at OutKick because we're going to be all over it too. We are going to be covering this story better than almost anybody else in all of sports because we are in favor of college football playing. We might lose the battle over whether or not college football is going to happen, but I've got to tell you, sometimes, even if you lose, it's important the battles that you fight. I'm always going to be in favor of college athletes on scholarship being able to play for the rest of my life, including now and 20 years from now, figuring out a way to make sure that as many kids as possible are able to use their college scholarships to the best advantage they can on college campuses. A guy who did that, he's Jason Whitlock. At Whitlock Jason, best sports columnist, I believe, in America today. He's writing all the time at OutKick. You need to be following him at Whitlock Jason on Twitter. He is scheduled to join us next, and he's going to hang with us for a little while. We'll see what he thinks about our proposed, again, if you're just waking up, Donald Trump scheduled to join us at 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific. I cannot wait to see what exactly might happen.
This is OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We bring in Jason Whitlock, who is, I mean, I guess you're kind of the warm-up act for the president of the United States. I mean, you know, that's not a bad situation, right? This speaks, by the way, to, I think, the partnership that we have at OutKick and the success that we have rapidly created in the media space. I mean, it's pretty awesome, regardless of what your politics are, for the president of the United States to be coming on OutKick.
Yeah, I think it speaks to just how ahead of the conversation you've been on college football and on just the coronavirus and football in general. And just, you know, I think people are recognizing you as a voice that, you know, wants the world to continue and for us to get back to some sense of normalcy and for us to accept that there are going to be risk moving forward, that there will be no perfect silver bullet solution. And at some point, we're going to have to get comfortable with the fact that kids are going to get sick and life is going to continue. Hopefully, none will have a significant illness or die. But, you know, that has been the way of the world for a long time. Death, taxes, and, you know, those are the guarantees.
Yeah. We're talking to Jason Whitlock. Now, I didn't know this, but I don't know Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten. And obviously, the Big Ten has found itself in a really kind of fascinating position with all of the rumors and the intrigue and the swirl of attention that has cast upon it from, frankly, a lot of media stories, not necessarily from the sources themselves speaking, but a lot of, oh, this is the story, anonymous sources tell me. So let's start here. Did the rapidity with which this story kind of emerged surprise you at all? And I said this earlier in the week, I think. I said you were at my house on Wednesday when I was having some phone calls. You were over cooking for my family. Hate to brag on you, but you did an incredible job with your cooking. And my kids and my wife, we continued to eat your food for several days after and continued to remark about how good it was. My parents came over, everything. But I was having some calls, and I came in, which your laptop is still on my counter because I keep forgetting to bring it, so hopefully I'll remember it for dinner tonight. But I came in, and I told you, hey, I don't think things look very good for college football, but I don't really want to dive into sharing that negativity on Wednesday. I want to wait and see what's going to happen. But I've been fighting since the weekend, as you know, as things have gotten more and more negative, it seemed, all the way through the weekend into early Monday. Were you surprised by how quickly it all happened?
No, because I have a different narrative. I don't think this is quick. I think this has been inevitable since the beginning of Corona, that it was going to get politicized and that the natural position of football people was going to be, let's play football. And then eventually the political people, the college presidents and the people on campus and the media were going to start pushing very strongly the closer we got to college football for there not to be college football. And I just feel like this was inevitable. college kids are supposed to be reporting to training camp right now. And this is where I thought we would be, a big tug of war between the media and college presidents and the people who really aren't the most staunch college football supporters versus the staunch college football people and people that just are like, I don't want to say over Corona, but people that are like, hey, man, Corona's here. We have to deal with it. And cowering in our homes is not the way we want to deal with it. So I just think there are people ready to move on and there are people that don't want to move on.
So you know Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, personally. I don't. Tell me about him. Are you surprised that he's ended up in the middle, the very central part of this situation with what seems to be a really, and let's be fair to him, I'm sure that he's getting pulled in two different directions simultaneously, as you can well imagine, too. The university presidents, who tend to be risk-averse and are thinking, oh, my God, we can't play football. And then the football people who are like, they're the football people, right? They're like, this is what we do. We've been spending months to try to figure out the best practices and protocols, whether it's Jason Day, whether it's James Franklin, whether it is Jim Harbaugh. All of them came out pretty aggressively and said they want to play. Scott Frost at Nebraska. A lot of big-time college coaches coming out aggressively in the Big Ten. Are you surprised at the way it has played out Big Ten-related so far?
Well, let me say this about Kevin Warren. I used to know Kevin Warren. Kevin Warren was the first agent I ever had as a media figure. Kevin Warren was in Kansas City when I was at the beginning of my career as a columnist in Kansas City, and he represented me for two or three years, I would say. We had a difference of opinions. I think Kevin Warren is a very smart guy, a very inspirational guy. I found him maybe a little too much on flash and short on substance for me, and that's why we kind of went separate ways. Kevin Warren, I think, wants to be the commissioner of the NFL. That would be, and again, I haven't known Kevin Warren for a long time. I think he went off and became a big shot with the Minnesota Vikings, a vice president in their organization. And he sprung board from there to be the commissioner of the Big Ten. Kevin Warren has major aspirations and wants to be the commissioner of the NFL, in my view. And I think you've rightly pointed out, Clay, he's in an extremely tough position. His first year on the job, when you're just out establishing relationships with the power coaches and all the coaches in your league from a football and basketball standpoint, you're just learning the school presidents that you work for. And to be thrown into this situation, to be, you know, trying to manage a conference through this type of political and health crisis, really unfair. He's in the most unfair position of any commissioner of any conference in college sports. And so I think he's in a tough spot. I think his instincts, you know, from my recollection, tend to be political. And how can the decisions I make help me elevate? Again, I think his aspirations are humongous. And so I just think you couple all those things together, and he's in a very rough spot. And so it doesn't surprise me that the Big Ten, that he's having a hard time harnessing the Big Ten coaches, harnessing Big Ten presidents. The Big Ten's probably in the toughest spot of any of these conferences because they have a brand new commissioner.
It's well said. Are you surprised, even within that context, that we got Scott Frost at Nebraska, James Franklin at Penn State, Ryan Day at Ohio State, and Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, arguably, and I know that we got a lot of Big Ten fans listening out there, and so they may just debate that with me, but arguably those are the four most important brands historically in the Big Ten if you look at the history there, right? I know Wisconsin people are like, hey, what about us? And Minnesota people are like, hey, we got P.J. Fleck and we won a bunch of titles in the 1930s. And look, I understand that everybody is proud of their program and their program's history. But if you told me right now, hey, what are the four programs that matter most in the Big Ten, I would say Michigan, Ohio State are one and two. Penn State is 3, and Nebraska is 4.
You haven't seen Nebraska play that much recently. But
well, historically, Nebraska but yes, Scott Frost so far has not had immediate success there.
Yeah.
But when you've got a guy like Scott Frost and he comes out and says, hey, if the Big Ten doesn't play, we may have to play in another conference. And then Ryan Day also says the same thing at Ohio State. I mean, that is an unprecedented statement to make. Are you surprised that those statements were made yesterday?
No, because, you know, having grown up in Big Ten country and having covered the Big 12 in Nebraska when it was a part of the Big 8 and Big 12, you know, when you just understand the community that Scott Frost represents, Lincoln, Nebraska, the state of Nebraska, that state is, trust me, they're over the coronavirus.
Yep.
That's a group of people that like to be outdoors, like to, you know, they're not scared. They're not living their lives in fear. They're probably the last frontier people, in Big Ten country or Big 12 country or whatever. And there's just a different ethos. So it doesn't surprise me that Scott Frost is where he's at. Ryan Day and Ohio State play for national championships virtually every year. Columbus, Ohio, those kids, he's reflective of his fan base, but also those kids on his football team. They have championship aspirations every year. They have poured their hearts, lives, souls into this season, and they don't want to just give it up easily because people above them that aren't connected to football are playing a political game with the coronavirus. I would say the same thing about Penn State. And just, you know, having spent some time in, you know, State College, Pennsylvania, knowing that fan base and that personality a little bit, same as Ohio State. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in Michigan. I covered the University of Michigan for 2 years with the Ann Arbor News. My entire college football program was based off of Bo Schembechler's Michigan program because our head coach, Paul Shadell, was a longtime Bo Schembechler assistant. It's when you start talking about people in the Midwest, and people in the South, it's just not a fear-based environment. And the college presidents on these campuses might be fear-based because some of them maybe aren't reflective of the campuses or the environments that their campuses are on. But when you just talk about the everyday people in Big Ten country, that's just not a fear-based group, and that's not a group of people that want to live the way New York and California are living right now, masked up, locked in their houses, afraid to do any damn thing.
When we come back, I'll ask Jason Whitlock about what he would have thought as a player.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Jason Whitlock, I thought Joe Burrow had one of the most interesting things that was said by a player, and there have been a lot. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, I give them credit for their outspokenness. But Joe Burrow said, hey, if we didn't play last year, I don't think I would necessarily have a job right now. He was a mid-round draft pick at best. Comes in and absolutely dominates for LSU, wins the national championship, makes himself $40 million-ish. Do you have a great deal of sympathy for tons of college players out there who maybe think they are the Joe Burrow of their season? They're going to come in, they're going to dominate, they've been putting in all this time, this work, this energy, this effort, and then boom, the adults pull the rug right out from underneath their feet.
Yeah, I think for a lot of kids, their lives are being dramatically changed as people way above them, people not connected to football, make political decisions. And this is all CYA. No one wants to take a risk because they're all, if something happens, I'm going to get blamed. And I understand that because, again, you know, you could risk a lawsuit. You could risk the media vilifying you as exploitive of kids. And if something happens, if there's an outbreak on a team and someone dies, that school president, that athletic director, that head coach, everybody's going to get vilified. But at the end of the day, I think we have to look at the data, look at what's going on with young people, and reach the reasonable conclusion that there's very little risk here for the young people relative to the risk of them going out and having unprotected sex and catching a disease that way that can have long-term impact on your health. You can get HIV. You can get any number. You can catch the flu and have complications. You can get pneumonia and have complications. There are all kinds of risks young people and old people take every day in socializing and competing against each other that we're going to have to we can't put COVID in some little special category of like nothing bad can happen or you've done a terrible job. There is risk in life. And so, yeah, I think Joe Burrow makes an excellent point. I think a lot of young people are having their lives dramatically changed right now. And we need to get to a point where if kids want to play and sign a waiver and that the kids that opt out can retain their eligibility, retain their scholarships, I think we need to go that route.
You were over at my house on Wednesday and you met who's going to be the coach of my son's flag football team. Drew, great guy, lives in the Nashville area. We coached, he was the head coach, I was the assistant coach of Little League basketball recently. I want you to just think about this, and I'm going to ask you about it again when we come back to start off hour two. How crazy is it that there are going to be flag football and Little League football going on all over this country, that there are going to be high school football games going on all over this country, that there are going to be NFL games going on all over this country? Little League, they're figuring out how to do it. High school, they're figuring out how to do it. Pros, they're figuring out how to do it. Doesn't it seem crazy? Doesn't it just boggle the mind that with all of the smart people that are involved in theory in college football, that they can't figure out to do the same thing in college football that the entire rest of the country is doing?
I got the perfect answer. Don't go anywhere.
That is indeed the perfect answer. The other perfect answer is, hey, by the way, if you're just getting in your car right now, yeah, Donald Trump is scheduled to join us to start off hour number three, the President of the United States, live on OutKick. In the meantime, the greatest opening act for a president ever. It's Jason Whitlock. He's going to be with us for all of hour two, chopping everything up. I promise you that you're going to have a good time. And by the way, did I mention the president? Yeah, he's coming in a little over an hour in theory.
Be sure to catch live editions of OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.